on the signal. Company will advance.
Well, I'm afraid it'll have to wait. Whatever it was, I'm sure it was better than my plan to get out of this by pretending to be mad. I mean, who would have noticed another madman around here? Good luck, everyone.
In today's podcast, Daniel takes to the trenches, but which wire player would he go over the top with? Curry of the Week is majorly affaired with a political gourmet taste. Madam Boyd is contractually obliged to speak. In this week's Instagram, is the selection one Ronnie? And there's a Twitter vote based on fullbacks, where Cornish Wires Jan gets on top. Lockdown Letters is put right on a Fran Obotica penalty that wasn't, or was it? And unfortunately, there's still Dennis's tackle bags. This is What Would Brian Bevan Say?
Right, we good to go then. Can we hear everyone? Am I making much noise? Am I banging around a bit?
Oh, yeah.
A little bit.
Can you hear that, can you?
Yeah, it's terrible.
Ah, fuck off with your fucking stones in the background.
Shit.
Where are you? Where's that?
It's, I can't remember what it's called now. It's a, I think it's in New York, a museum.
Yeah.
A guy that likes to shock. He puts them on rugs.
Are they supposed to be shits, are they?
Yeah. I don't know whether he's modelled those shits off his own shits. But if he did that, he wouldn't have been shitting in a toilet, would he?
Oh, dear. Hello, I'm Rob London, and with the Second World War now 75 years behind us, it was great to see xenophobia is alive and well, with a hint of bunting helping to attire a celebration of passive-aggressive racism. But where are my two other war partygoers that make up the rest of our podcasting platoon? Up first, a man that had he been born 45 years earlier, would have no doubt spent the entire war from the safety of a South of the River officer's mess, watching the battlefield unfold behind a glass or two of Louis XIII cognac. It's a warm welcome to Sam VC Sankey.
Yes, good morning. Cuvassier champagne cognac probably is what I normally have, but yeah, maybe back then. It would have been that tipple. It's been a beautiful couple of days here. Nice and warm. I can still smell the barbecues in the air, unless that was all the burning of bonfires. But I didn't go out and do a conga like the idiots did in Grappinall.
Oh, I see.
He's in there early.
Turning on him already,
social
isn't he?
Social distancing my arse. Anyway, hello,
have you
guys.
Have you ever been part of a human chain? Sam?
Chain gang or...
forget it, don't worry.
Yeah, yeah. We'll not go down the...
Caterpillar?
We'll not go down the caterpillar route.
Okay, and also, had he been born half a century earlier, he would have undoubtedly spent the war at the bottom of a north of the river ditch, shoveling shit, while scratching his groin following a local visit to a French prostitute, and probably died from septicemia due to his cowardly act of trying to get home by shooting himself in the foot. It's a white feather. Good morning to Dennis VD Waywell.
Good morning. Excellent. Fresh from the social distancing bubble of the village, leaving them all to play with a conga on a rope from the old people's home going around the village.
Lovely. Did you have any relatives go to war, Dennis? Anyone in your family?
Yes. Yeah, my granddad.
Did he?
He was one of those who never talked about it. The only snippets
Why
of information.
Why is that? Because he was thick.
No, he was driving a boat. He did drove a boat on the D-Day landings and stuff. Oh. But he never talked about it.
What, driving the boat?
Driving the boat, no.
How do you know?
How do you know about it
if he didn't talk about it?
Because he had, I don't know, he talked about that bit.
So he did talk about it. He was always talking about it, wasn't he? All the time going on about the Irish club.
Same thing.
Ah, oh, dear. Yeah.
He's dead now.
Oh. Just have a few seconds silence for Dennis's granddad.
Thanks for that. Oh dear.
How are you, Rob? I'm good, thanks, lads. Yeah, I'm fine. Don't worry about me. Yeah, yeah. Never fucking ask
how
anymore,
are you, Rob?
Do you? I'm well. I'm well. Summer continues here. It's nice and warm. We've come out of social distancing.
Yes.
We're back to sort of family groups now. Five restaurants are about to open with servings up to 10. It's all happening here.
That's not far off normal there.
Did you have anybody in the war?
Well, family. My granddad didn't go because he was an essential worker who worked for the railway line. So consequently, didn't have to go to the.
Did he do?
Just blew a whistle.
Did he not talk about it?
We talked about it all the time.
What did he do?
He's dead now.
Oh, hold on. Just a minute silence for Rob's granddad. Okay.
Sam, did your granddad go to war?
I don't want to be any part of this.
What week of lockdown's this now? I've started to lose it. I mean, Dennis, you've put some kind of shit mural up behind you on your Zoom profile. I mean, what is going on here?
I'm into my art and everything, and I thought, what would be appropriate for this lockdown podcast? I thought I'd get a pile of shit behind me.
Oh, dear. Now, one person that social distances as an art form to is Madame Boyd. Drawing her balls, her reach can go from anywhere between 2 metres all the way to the other side. Dennis putting his call to the great Mystique as she predicts a game, perhaps, of cat and mouse following the lockdown.
Okay. Take my balaclava off. It's quite late at night. I'm going to put a call into Madame Boyd. I believe she's got some news. Just going to the phone box near the church and I'll... Jesus Christ. Anyway, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. Lockdown's on, so I just need to put this call in. This new added security. I've got to push all the buttons down in sequence.
Emergency, which service?
Madame Boyd's chip shop. Feel my balls. So if you just heard, that was the secret code down to Madame Boyd's line, so we can just ignore this bit.
We're sorry. You have reached a number that has been disconnected or is no longer in service. If you feel you have reached this recording in error, please check the number and try to call again.
Madame Boyd here on Her Majesty's Essential Service.
Madame Boyd, it's Dennis Waywell. Not spoken to you for ages.
Oh, Dennis, I do apologise for the additional securities, but one never can be too careful.
Is this because you're working for Crown and Country, Madame Boyd?
Just the Crown, dear. The cunts can look after themselves.
Sorry, what do you mean?
Oh, just the cunts who are not respecting social distancing.
Oh, is that because of your age?
How dare you?
Oh, sorry.
I'll have you know I'm not a day over 69, Dennis. So Brad tells me.
Oh, right, okay. Anyway, Madame Boyd, obviously, we really do need some information. Players' contracts are up or anything. Anything you can give us on that?
David. Huh? David, dear. Huh? Come through, David.
Who's David, Madame Boyd?
My good friend David Pike, dear.
Oh, brilliant.
Yes, it's slow, but he does it well, don't you, David?
And it was doing it in such a...
Yes. Spit it out, dear.
A persuasive way.
Yeah.
That made total sense.
Oh, for God's sake, David, just pull the bloody things out. See, David, that wasn't too bad. Did you feel anything?
A resistance?
Yes, dear, but like your website. Anyway, what do we have here? Comings and goings, negotiations, contracts, players Clark, Davis and Curry in no hurry to sign next year.
Right, okay. Right, I better be off, Madame Boyd, anyway. I'll hopefully speak to you soon. See you later.
Come on, David, dear. Let's go and play with your lizard.
You know, people say, well, you know, they've got to be physical because you can't walk through the wall.
I haven't the faintest idea what you're going on about, David. Sound like Carl Fitzpatrick.
If you wish to leave a record of your call, please state your message at the sound of the tone.
Can I just say that that was part of my daily exercise because we've gone past 12 o'clock, so I had to run to the phone box.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So intriguing. So she mentioned three names there, Sam. She came out with Curry, Clark, and Davis. Interesting times, I guess. I mean, we've never been in this sort of situation before where we're sort of going into a season where we're not playing rugby, trying to predict who we're going to re-sign next year.
Yeah, it is. It's you could almost pin a tail on any one of them and see which one.
On your caterpillar,
sticks, can't you? On your caterpillar. I mean, when we started this season, we had even more. But Steph Ratchford has re-signed and Mike Cooper has re-signed, and we know that Ben Murdoch-Masilla is off back to the NRL.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that frees up an awful lot of money, you would think. Mm-hmm. Ben Murdoch-Masilla, but then you've got obviously chicken. my favourite Ben Curry and Jason Clark. I've looked at some numbers about what they've done and what they've played over the last, well, since the start of last season, and I was quite surprised actually between the three of them. Ben Murdoch-Masilla played 31, scored 7 tries, 11 offloads, and 573 metres.
Yeah.
Ben Curry played 31, so despite you worry about him being injured, played 31. 4 tries scored, 903 tackles made.
Yeah.
25 offloads. But really interesting, Jason Clark played the most games, 35 games, 901 tackles and 31 offloads. I don't remember him doing that many offloads, but just pure numbers, he obviously does put more of a shift in than perhaps it comes across.
Mm. I guess one thing, that there's one column that isn't here, and that's their salaries. You know, if you can sort of put an equation in there to say, right, well, this is it, da, 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 but we then divide by the salary, it would give a far more clear indication, I guess, to who is worth
the player's worth.
And who isn't. In those players you've all mentioned that have re-signed, of course, all re-signed pre-virus, didn't they? They're all in the bag. And in some regards, their sort of future's all now locked in. But contracts going forward, you'd think if Warrington are in, you know, a little bit of different financial restrictions next year, that possibly the contracts are not going to be anywhere near as much as what they've been offered 2 months ago.
Yeah, well, interestingly, I had it on fairly good authority that Ben Curry was in the process of negotiating, having been given an initial offer by the club and not quite re-signed. I'm not saying he's going anywhere. I don't know anything like that.
He's gone.
But I know that deal hadn't been done. And earlier in the week, the club come out and say they could be £1 million down.
Yeah.
And obviously Ben Curry, one of the stars on a good contract. Suddenly, would Warrington be happy to let one of their players go? We've already lost Ben Murdoch-Masilla, so you don't know what they're on, but you know, hypothetically, let's say he's on 150 grand, he'll be on one of the larger amounts. Just hypothetically, if we're going to be £1 million down, do you not sign anyone to replace Ben Murdoch-Masilla? Do you actually look to your youth? Promote someone from there on just 25 grand.
It's very hard to promote youth as well at the moment, though, also, because we've not had a look at them. You know,
they've played even less,
haven't they? Because Vicky Park was under, you know, water for so many weeks as well. So they didn't play that many games.
Yeah, we've got a couple of names, but they are young lads. I mean, there's a lad called Connor Wrench, but he is a young lad.
Youth was popular.
People are talking about him.
Youth was popular in Germany at the time, the war.
That's true, yeah.
But I suppose when you look at that list, that's a very good point, because you look at the other players that are up on contract as well. And like Sam says, do you then sort of like say, well, actually, let's put our money there, plan for the future and not have these stars?
And all clubs are going to be in similar positions, aren't they? I mean, Harvey Levett is due off contract and he's on a year's loan off to Hull KR. Do you let Ben Murdoch-Masilla go, actually not sign a replacement, but extend Harvey Levett's contract by a year? He's not the same player. He's not got the star quality, but he won't let us down, and he'll be on a fraction of the money. You've got possibly got $100,000 saving there.
There must be. There surely is no urgency now from a Warrington perspective to go and re-sign any players, because as the season goes on or the season doesn't go on, there's also a chance that a lot of other clubs are going to have to offload players. So the market might actually be saturated next year, and you can pick and choose who you want to bring into the club.
Yeah, correct. And we'll, I mean, we'd only just started with a reserves league. Will they scrap that as a money-saving thing again next year? You know, so suddenly you've got all these fringe players. I mean, it might be a year or two where these fringe players are actually playing week in, week out, because they're cheaper and the clubs all have to save. I mean, if we're going to be £1 million short, Simon's not going to be making a shed load of money on open air concerts this year, is he? So he's not going to, I mean, there'd be no issue for him personally, but he's not going to be flush. So is it unrealistic to think the directors have got spare money to put in? We might have to get a loan from the bank and cut our playing roster by £250,000 a year for 4 years.
You've also got to look at what's going to be everyone's sort of, you know, what a season ticket's going to be next year. If there are a lot of people that are also going to be losing their jobs in the next 6 months, you might find that takes 10% off the gate as well. So it's going to have a knock-on effect all the way through. All right, let's have some yes and no's. We'll have no caveats here. We'll just have yes and no's. We'll start with Dennis and we'll go to Sam on each one. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I've got 8 players then coming off contract. Sammy Gabula, re-sign Dennis, yes or no?
No.
Sam?
Don't know enough about him. No.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
No, I don't. I've not seen him play. So, but you're we'll need someone of that ilk.
Josh Thulis. Dennis?
Yes.
Sam?
Yes. Yes, I agree.
Ellis Robson?
Yes.
Yeah.
Matty Davis? Has to be, doesn't he? He's on no money. I mean, I can't believe he's on that much money at all. There was talk when he came in, Henderson said, you know, he had aspirations to get into the first team. So based on that statement, you think he's not been paid that much. He's got to stay. He's the kind of guy that can play 10 games every year and put it in when it's needed to.
You said no caveats, but that's really the explanation you give. That's
was it? Was that not yes or no?
Given the circumstances, yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Deck Patton. Remember him?
Go on, Sam. You go first. I'll have a think.
We'll have a think on yes and no.
I'm going to say no. I think Riley Dean.
You've always had it in for him.
I know.
Riley Dean's the next one off the rank.
Always had it in for Deck Patton. Dennis, you going to re-sign Deck Patton?
Yeah, I think so. You know, what I've seen of Austin, I'm thinking that, you know, we could have a rotational system.
You're a bit tired today, Dennis. You look a bit faint.
No, absolutely fine. Anyway, you've not answered any of these. Why are we going yes now? Are you going to sum it all up in a minute, are you?
Well, I might do. Next one. We've got the two biggies left then. Jason Clark.
No, because if he's on really big money, I think, talked about before, we only get half a job out of him. He's a good defender, but he doesn't really give us anything going forward.
Mm-hmm. More offloads than Ben Murdoch-Masilla or Ben Curry in the last... Well,
Dennis is offloading him.
Yeah.
Sam?
He's not.
But I would agree with that. I would agree with that. I think it will be a cost-cutting exercise, and probably we will only replace Jason Clark and Ben Murdoch-Masilla with one player.
Mm. Well, there you go. And Madam
You've already lost Ben Murdoch-Masilla. So
yeah, no, but we've not replaced him. So I'm going to say we're going to get rid of Clark and Murdoch-Masilla.
All right. And the final one, Ben Curry.
Well, I've got to say yes, haven't I? No. I've got to say I'd have him. Of course I have.
All right. Okay.
Come on, Ben, put pen to paper.
So are you signing him on the same contract as what he was on, Sam? Or are you upping his salary or taking a little bit away?
A little bit away.
10%?
Not much, but 10%? Yeah, I'll do that.
10%. Dennis?
We don't know what he was on, but yeah, 10%.
I'd definitely keep him. I just think maybe that you've got to compromise on salary, as I think we all agree. 38. I think this lockdown will be doing him a world of good. We'll come to that anyway.
Yeah, I guess so. All right, well, that's it. Looking forward to next year. Lynham, Austin Hill, Philbin King, Sitiliti Akawala, Danny Walker, Jake Mamo, Lewis Johnson, Luther Burrell, Riley Dean, Anthony Gelling, and Matty Aston. Gee, it's going to be a clusterfuck next year, isn't it, of who we keep and who we don't re-sign. Well, and there's a lot there next year.
Well, again, it's a very changing situation. This is not to do with the police matter, but Anthony Gelling is back in New Zealand, isn't he?
Yeah.
Do we think he might stay there?
He's gone, isn't he? They're not going to renew that in another year's time.
Do you think he'll come back though?
Oh, who knows? Who knows with Gelling? Would we miss him really?
Well, there was a lot of talk. Well, it was newspaper talk, but someone had actually bothered to print it, so it wasn't just complete gossip. But
I think I've come up with an idea.
Go on.
What we should do, right, is nobody should be getting new contracts now. This could be tackle bags, this. I probably shoot myself in the foot like I was introduced. But what you should do is then all those players who are coming off contract this year, what they should do is we should just put it in a franchise system for 2021. So that basically there's a fixed amount of money coming into rugby league that is equally distributed between all those players that are out of contract. And then clubs just pick them up, have an auction.
Yeah, well, I do wonder whether we were supposedly linked with Letelli. Was it Letelli over at Toronto and offering them five players to help them, and suddenly they've signed Callum Watkins, so right. They've got an extra centre. I wonder whether money might talk. We might not be in a position to do it anymore, but I just wonder whether maybe Anthony Gelling might stay in New Zealand and plays rugby there, and we might have a new centre.
And what about this lad at Castleford that's rumoured to be coming as well?
Mm-hmm. But again, it's rumours, isn't it? And the landscape has changed significantly, just like that turd that looks like it's coming out of the top of Dennis's head.
Mm. Well, Dennis, you've got a little bit more from Madam Boyd, I hear, off air, to say that Ben Curry has actually turned down his contract. It's ongoing, but he's taken that first offer away off the table, yeah?
Yeah. I think, I don't know if the pen was working or not, or whether he's just chancing his arm, is what she said. But yeah, I think we've already covered this, haven't we? He's not here. Well, Sam said he's gone anyway, really. Looks quite upset.
Oh, dear.
Anyone off that list next year that you'd be trying to sign this year? You know, lock them in for
to extend the contract.
Philbin and Matty Ashton would be the two, wouldn't it, that you want to sort of pull to one side and maybe lead on? Of course, Burrell next year, I think the salary changes slightly. He's only been 50% on the salary cap. Or he's only 50% on the salary cap next year, isn't he? He's nothing on the cap.
Yeah. Costing us money. He's going to have to start to earn his money, hasn't he? Well, he does look. I was going to save this for a bit later, but have you seen what he's been up to in his training? He's posting photos of his body every day. He looks like a Greek god, the way he's ripped. Whether he can run and actually play rugby league is another matter, but he looks ripped. And after my criticism of him a couple of weeks ago, when he only did 49 and a bit kilometres on his bike and said, should I have gone to 50? Yeah, he actually went out and did 75 kilometres on his bike this weekend over a couple of hours and got two punctures and had to fix them en route. So good on you, Luther. Let's keep it going. Keep getting fit. Keep getting healthy.
Sam, are you all right?
Yes. Yeah, what's wrong with you?
Did this last week.
It's kicking off.
I'm not kicking off. I've...
Take your top off. Take your top off. Let's have a look.
Oh, I don't look like Luther. he's got a six-pack. He might even have a 12-pack, he looks at, ripped, whereas I've... you just don't want to see. It's a bad look.
Okay, with this endless void of no rugby, it's been almost impossible to give a spice rating to Ben Curry. So much so, last time out, His solitude downgraded him to nothing more than a packet mix of Vesta curry. Sam, is there any way of snorting Ben up from a powdered mix?
Jesus.
Oh, I'm not sure about that description, but yes, yes, there is. Ben is back on form this week and showing his caring side, showing how much he cares. He's run a marathon this week over 4 days, I think 5 days maybe.
Hang on. When I'm at work and I go back into the photocopier, I reckon over about 6 days I walk a marathon.
Now, you walk it. This is on top of his cycling he's doing.
Right. Okay.
He's run a marathon and it's the charity. It's for a cancer charity, showing his care, he cares, and anyone who would like to donate, you can find Ben Curry at Benno Curry on his Twitter, and you'll see more if you want someone to donate to.
So you're working for him?
Based on the extra work he's doing, running a marathon on top of his bike, based on the fact he's showing his caring, I'm hoping that you two are going to mark him as a stronger Curry this week. I think he deserves it this week.
Somebody who's got obviously another side to them other than the physicalities. Somebody that possibly would, you know, offer a very contextualize their points and you know, have a relationship with people and being very political about how they sort of you know, put their beliefs across. Mm. Rob, any Curries you can think of?
Well, as you said, we've already touched on it, haven't we? It's getting a little bit political in terms of him re-signing a contract. And there was a politician who ripped up a lot of contracts when it came to an oval-shaped ball, or an oval-shaped egg, should we say, and that was Edwina Curry with the egg scandal. So this week's Curry of the Week is an Edwina Curry.
Today's curry dish is Edwina Curry.
It's a curry, mat maro.
There will have to be further cuts, and those cuts are going to have to be quite substantial.
Now, with a staggering 40 tackle bag ideas over season one and opening to season two, and now in lockdown, can Dennis's creative mind ever be stopped? Even social distancing couldn't burden him to aspire to an invention of Rugby League Laser Quest. So hearing from our podcasting beam of coherent, metachromatic light again, it's time for Dennis's Tackle Bags.
Tackle Bags.
You're joking. Not another one? Oh, for God's sake, I can't stand this.
Last week, we ventured into the world of the impending lockdown measures and what that means in terms of social distancing. What better way to get our athletes running around with the invention of our new game, IsoTouch Footy, using Laser Quest technology to create a 2-meter perimeter around the players to solve the tackling issue, lighting up a bright fluorescent LED when a tackle is made, thus creating a game to meet the current global social distancing restrictions, allowing people to get back to work. Our rugby players get back to work. It wasn't that popular, this one. 69% disagreed, said no. Diabetic Charlie, he said, totally impractical. I've calculated that you would need a field the size of IKEA car park in Warrington. If you did that, you'll end up isolating the dogging community in Warrington as well.
Mm, yeah.
Don't know. Have you been there, Sam? He's smiling.
Yeah, the only dogging I do is in the Peter Kay car share sense, actually walking the dog.
Oh, okay, good. Glad we've clarified that for everyone in Thirlwall. Yes, 30%, budgie juggler. Great idea. Perhaps the referee could use a Laser Quest gun to point out and shoot the players who are offside. P.S. Hicks could just use a laser pointer. So it's probably a bit of consideration there. That's quite nice. Other 1% Keith, forget rugby. This could be used for pedos. I'd expect my street to be lit up like Blackpool Prom. Don't know where he lives. Didn't give a location.
You've got a very strange following on your tackle bags, haven't you?
Well, it's very niche, you see. Everybody's interested in it. You get all sorts. Anyway, this week, prepare yourselves. let's have a bit of interaction here now. Building on the idea of our players being furloughed at the moment and the likelihood of not returning until 2021, which I think we're all agreed, what are these athletes going to do with themselves? Well, clearly, it's laudable that a lot of players have been helping out in the community. And, you know, the alternative to having to create an environment that's entertainment will strike a chord, I think, if we use our rugby league players in some way. So I've come up with a new game show where we can test our rugby athletes. Now, we've all had the old ones, you know, the Krypton Factor, Superstars, I mean, it was the main one with our athletes. And like an It's a Knockout. So I'm going to smash all these three together. It's now called the Super Bevan Factor Krypton Knockout Stars. So a catchy title there, which is a great idea. So we've put some of these things together. So get ready for this. Here, rugby league teams consisting of the ladies' teams as well, take part in a series of physical tasks, working together in teams or nominated individuals for their skill set, i.e. sprints, a sprint round, weightlifting, wrestling, etc. And then we finally put these, at the end, we put them on an assault course in groups of four where they have to help themselves to the end and so on. So we could have league areas around the country, like It's a Knockout, to maintain that bubble distancing, keep everyone there. We have a weekly league table. And then we have a highlights program that would be hosted by Rob London and all the facts by Sam Sankey.
Hang on. Why are you sort of referencing me when it comes to It's a Knockout?
You know, I always see myself as Eddie Waring. And
he's the Stuart Hall of the podcast.
Who was the other one?
He's the Stuart Hall of the podcast, isn't he?
Edit.
At His Majesty's pleasure.
Each team starts off with a joker. In this case, it's the team's leading personality telling jokes. We would have an interactive phone to vote for the best joke. And for ladies, a Mr. Rugby League voting for the best physique, maybe.
Happy sexist, news, isn't it? A bit sexist.
And any men that might fancy that. No, I don't mean fancy. Oh, shit. Ruined that bit now. Anyway, so you get the idea. The Super Bevan Factor Krypton Knockout Stars. Very catchy title, I should say.
That's a good one.
Yeah. So I think I should put this forward, put us all forward, should I say, for this format. Mm. We should go and make appointments now, Rob, if you could, with Channel 4, Channel 5.
Yeah. Dave?
No, don't we go to BBC? No, we can't have Dave on it. He'd nick all the guests.
I meant Dave, Channel Dave.
Something. ITV. Anything else?
Oh,
right. Dave. Sorry. I thought you meant Dave Woods again. Right, anyway, that's a good idea. No, don't forget, write to us and all that usual stuff, and we'll see if we can get some backing for this idea.
Well, very good, Dennis. Well done. Keep it up.
Yeah, that's the acronym, SBFKKS. I don't know what it means.
Yeah, it's good. Okay, time for the Twitter vote, which again we nearly forgot to put up. It's only been up for a couple of hours. Got 102 votes in the small amount of time it was up, because I think this is a vote of, you know, contention, and hence why it seems to get a quick response. The question was, once rugby returns, your preferred Warrington Rugby League fullback is, although I actually wrote full bulk, which no one picked up on if you looked at it on Twitter.
It's easy to make a mistake though, isn't it?
When
you're writing
it
things. Yeah. Because we had a response to that. I went to Cornish Wire and said, asked him about scones, and I put, would you prefer it with Jan on top?
Yes.
So I had to go back. Yes, I had to go back and ask if his wife was Jan.
Yeah, Cornish Wire said, why fullback particularly? Why move on? Why move one of our pivots in Ratchford? Why not ask the question in regards to the wingers? All right, just calm down, Cornish Wire. We'll get onto that next week. What a lockdown ahead of us. Right, there was three options for fullback. We had Ratchford, Ashton and Mamo. Ratchford got 41%, Ashton got 55%, so everyone's still living on that dream of that glorious try he scored. Poor Mamo, poor Jake, only got 4%.
La la la, la la la. Oh, stationery shop. Duane's stationery. You'll need some of that.
sir. Welcome to Duane's Stationery. How may I help you?
Oh, good day. Yeah, I'm looking to buy a whiteboard.
A whiteboard, sir. Yes, we offer lots of whiteboards. But may I suggest in vogue at the moment is the whiteboard corkboard combo. It's 450mm of whiteboard, but also 450mm of corkboard. Excellent for those memos that you might be writing. Takes any drawing pin or blue tack, sir.
Oh, yeah, it sounds sweet. I'll go for one of those.
Well, unfortunately, sir, we don't have it in stock at the moment, but I can order it for you. Be here within 3 days.
Yeah, I'll go for that.
OK, if I can just grab your surname, sir.
Yeah, the surname's Mamo.
No, sir, I don't think you're quite getting me. I know you want it for memos, but I need your surname.
Yeah, the surname's Mamo.
Surname, that's silly. Look, I know you want it for memorandos. I know you want to put memos on the cork. It's Norwegian. It's the finest cork of all. But I need your surname, sir.
Yeah, the surname's Mamo.
No. I need your... Look, one last time, sir. Don't waste my time again. Losing my temper. Just give me your surname, and then we can be on our way, can't we? Yes?
Yeah, the surname's Mamo.
Oh, for crying out loud, I'm not...
No, my surname's Mamo. I want it for memos. My surname's Mamo.
We don't care. Just stop pissing about, you know. No, fuck off. Go on, fuck off, right? Go and disappear.
Okay, time to crank up the What Bev and Lottie computer to look at the psychology mindset of a Wire player's Instagram. It's over to Lottie.
Remain indoors. Remain indoors.
You are now listening to the Rugby League Emergency Broadcast System.
Welcome back to the Warrington Wolves Isolation News, reporting every week on what the players of the Warrington Wolves have been getting up to. Our supercomputer, Lottie, will analyse the web and social media activities each week and randomly select a player and isolation activity for the podcast to analyse. So, without further ado, Lottie, let's plug those dots from those wire clocks. And the results are in. It's Flaky Blank. And there's public information fell.
Well, I think we're all a bit speechless on this week, although certainly someone isn't speechless, and that is Blake Austin, who has been preaching as the Messiah on Instagram. Mm. Dennis, have you been able to make any sort of head and a tail of this and what he's going on about?
I thought I was watching some dystopian future leader talking about some vaccine to do with COVID. About you know what we all need to do. I was very confused for a couple of days. So it was a bit strange, that one, I'd say.
Yeah. It was a little bit like the two Ronnies when they're reading the news, although he's just he's just the one Ronnie. I think that's the way I see him. Or a little bit like, who was the one that used to tell the... Ronnie Corbett used to tell the joke every week in the leather
monologue.
Chair. You're like, for fuck's sake, get on with it.
Yeah,
I'm back.
So, what was his message then?
I've listened to it. Well, I didn't. I gave up after about half of it, but it didn't seem to make any sense at all what he was actually saying.
Mm. I noticed sort of there was a lot of bras in the comments. Yeah, underneath it. So I don't know what that is. Is there some kind of, I don't know, women throwing away the bras or something that he's going on about? Sam, okay. You've not said much.
No. Well, I didn't listen to this. The only thing I've seen, I saw him...
Oh, hello. What about, ring have you seen?
I saw him posting about his VE Day party. Ooh. But I have noticed that Mrs. Blake hasn't been...
Steady.
But ever since the sun has come out, she's not been posting about it being cold here and wanting to go home. But... Mm. He's off contract next year as well, isn't he? There could be some more saving there.
Would you save him then?
Blake Austin firing and playing well, I think he's brilliant. But we're in different times, aren't we? They showed the 10 tries of his and some of those outrageous dummies and sidesteps he does. I don't think we've had anyone who can do that type of step for years.
Yeah. Burrell's not had an highlights reel like that, has he?
No.
It's mostly rugby union, four tries of rugby union.
But, you know, Blake's marquee player, you'd expect he's on, well, because he's on marquee money, he must
be on
two. How much
is he on, Sam?
He must be on 200 plus. So let's just say he's on 250-ish.
Hang on. 475. You won't discuss Ben Curry's salary. You're always like, let's not go down that path. And now it's Blake Austin. You're straight out at it.
No, I'm just thinking at the exchange rate, it must be about 475 Aussie.
I want everything distilling down to pounds per try. And that's how I'm going to award contracts going forward. That's okay. It.
But we have to guess we're going to guess what they're on. Guess what they're earning.
I tell you what, you know what? I reckon if you look back through the records to see who had the best sort of ratio for pounds per try, would probably be that winger Chris Riley. We should look into his stats because I think he's probably the most, probably the best assets we've had in terms of ratio for ginger tries and okay. Salary.
Pound per square inch.
Has anyone got his number?
I'm sure you could come up with that, Rob.
I'll give him a call. Hang on.
Have a word with Chris Sandow.
Hello, is that Chris Riley? Yeah, it's Rob London from What Would Brian Bevan Say? What would Brian Bevan say? The podcast? Yeah. Do you want to come on next week? You'll come on if you don't do it, Dennis's tackle bags. Well, we can do that. All right, Chris, I'll be in touch.
Well, why tackle bags? Why has he picked that?
I don't know. He just decided that he'll only come on if we don't do a tackle bag. So we'll see what we can come up with there.
Anyway, listen, stop avoiding the question. Austin, Rob?
Would I keep Austin? Yes, because I like some trinkets at the back of my drawer. I don't necessarily have to wear them, but, you know, a gold-encrusted cock ring, something that you can bring out just for a special occasion, like Wembley or the Old Trafford, I always think's a magical thing to possess. So
You've had a lot of coffee today, haven't you? You've had a lot of coffee to keep you
so,
up
no,
tonight.
I think he's a trinket, and if we can keep him just based on the fact that we've got the salary, then yeah, why not? Because when he's on form, he's superb.
How many cut rings could you buy for 250,000?
Just a minute, I'm making my calculator. How much do they go for?
Oh, dear. Right.
Also, quite a few.
Okay.
If I should die, think only this of me, that there's some corner of a foreign field that is forever England. Yes, inspiring words from the poem The Soldier by Rupert Brooke. Inspiring words, perhaps, or propaganda that led to the deaths of thousands of naive young army conscripts. I'll let you be the judge of that. But if young Daniel had found himself in a blood-filled trench in northern France, which wire player would he have liked to have him next to, holding his bayonet?
So it's 75 years since VE Day. One of very few things in life that happened longer ago than Warrington's last league title, but enough of that. So with that in mind, I've been thinking about life in the trenches, life in the war zone, and which Warrington player, current or past, would I most like to be stuck in the trenches with? Which I guess is a bit of a similar question to the experience we're all going through right now. Which wire player would you most like to be in lockdown with? And I think the answer to both for a current player is Tom Lynham, who just seems to have such a great sense of humour. I mean, he's been on the podcast before, and I enjoyed listening to him. He's got a great brain, and he seems to have a fantastic insight into the world of rugby, and seems a very interesting character. But also, his sense of humour is brilliant, and he's one of the ones that I think I'd enjoy spending some time with. In terms of past players, Westwood and Breers spring to mind. I'm sure they'd have some great stories to tell. So those two. Who would I not like to be in lockdown or stuck in the trenches with? Well, I'm not sure really. I'd like to think that I'd be okay with them all. I'm not sure. Someone like Lama Tazi, I'm not sure I'd feel too well protected with him if I was going to war with him. Ryan Atkins, yeah, he certainly wouldn't pass me anything if I needed it, if I needed him to pass me a gun if we were in the trenches about to go for a fight or whatever, but yeah. So that's who I wouldn't like to be in lockdown with, but yeah, I think Lynham would just be hilarious, just spend an hour or two with him. If it had to be stuck in the trenches for weeks and weeks on end, then he certainly would be someone whose company I think would be enjoyable.
Well, it's clear that even Daniel's struggling now. with that absolutely heap of shit that you came up with there, Daniel. No other way to describe it. Sam, if you were in the trench, I mean, obviously you wouldn't because you'd be in the officer's mess, but if you just ventured down to see, you know, Corporal Waywell, to see if his boots were clean, who would you have liked to see in the trench next to you?
It'd have to be Morley, wouldn't it? And Westwood.
Okay.
Of the modern day players that I've seen, anyway. Les Boyd.
I'd probably go for Phil Ford because he was very elusive, you know, running in between the mines.
You'd go for Luther Burrell. You'd want to make sure you've got all, like, you know, the silver service.
At least he'd have a mirror, wouldn't he? So I could do my hair. So, so that'd be good.
Yeah, I think, anyway, you've been unfair to old Daniel there. What a thing to ask him to do. I mean, who do you want to be in the trench with? Christ almighty.
Yeah, sorry, Danny. We did set you up there a little bit, mate, but we're running out of ideas now. I mean, we're into week 8 of the lockdown. And good on him. I should say at this point, though, Daniel is one of these people that is on the front line at the moment. He is putting his head above the parapet and going forward because he's a young teacher and he's out there still teaching. So good on you, mate. That's good to know.
It's time for a new section to the show. Well, I say new. We've just rebadged it. Yes, wait for it. It's time for... It's coming. Yes, here it is. Lockdown. I said lockdown. Yes, lockdown. Lockdown letters, emails, texts, tweets, Twitches, MySpace, Bebo, Friends Reunite, those wankers that write on walls in toilets, you know the ones, put little dicks on the walls with a sort of hole that turns out to be a glory hole if you stick your cock through it. Not that I'd know that. Anyway, it's time for Lockdown Letters.
Right, time for lockdown letters. Dennis, I think you've got the first one.
Okay, I'll just have to get that. Why do I always have to go first?
You know, do you think when Angela Rippon was reading the news, she was always going, hang on, I have to get this.
Nice legs.
Are you going to like your Zoom table disappear and give us a can-can?
I'll try.
Oh, it's back to Grant and all that, isn't it, really?
This one's off Ken Birch.
Ken Birch.
Dave's this one's dad. Off Ken Birch.
Dave's dad.
Could be. Dave Birch's dad, it could be. Yes, Ken is right. No, that's... Idiot.
Come on, what's Ken got to say, Dennis? Never mind Dave Birch.
Oh dear, I've just read the reply. Never mind.
Come on.
Sorry, we'll have to cut this.
No, we won't. I'm not doing any editing. I want to go to bed. Come on. Right. Ken Birch.
Hi. Just listened to the podcast discussion after the Jonathan David interview from Five Live Podcasts. Why is everybody wanting to bloody promote Dave?
What's going on about that shit for?
Where you discussed the penalty against Wigan that denied Warrington the title in 1994. Both Davis and you, I presume he means Sam, seem to be unaware of a Q&A that the referee, Russell Smith, gave in the Rugby League press on his retirement a few years later after a spell refereeing in Australia. When asked, for his greatest regret, he cited that a penalty decision, saying that he watched the match video referee afterwards and realised it wasn't a penalty and that it robbed Warrington of the title. So it wasn't the lack of a second row forward that did it for us. We was robbed.
Well, he is right. Russell Smith did say he'd made a mistake 2 or 3 years later. I think he probably said that while he was in Australia because he moved down to you guys, didn't he?
Ronaldo
take a job with the NRL. Mm. Yeah. And he is right. He got that one wrong. as we all know.
So it wasn't anything to do with a second row. Well, it was a second row forward.
I have a different reading of that situation. He did get it wrong.
Yeah.
But about 10 minutes before that, Paul Cullen absolutely mullered a Wigan player fairly. And the Wigan player was left on the ground. And obviously everyone in the Fletcher Street was chanting Cole's name. And he turned to the Fletcher Street and he lifted his two arms in a sort of victorial, gladiatorial salute. And I think Russell Smith then had it in for him. I think Russell Smith saw that, thought Cullen's out to hurt people. And when he saw him go down with his knees, he assumed, wrongly, that he'd gone in with his knees.
Sounds like a myth.
Well, that's just my reading of the situation. My memory, though, I've had a lot of wine since that day.
Jesus.
Best with his hand shaking there, drinking his water.
You think it's water?
We've had a few more, not too many this week, actually. A bit disappointing in the ones that have come in. We've got three. The first one's from Fred the Drug Pusher. I was once in a hot tub at the Lord Darsbury when the famous football player Tommy Hutchinson got in too. You may remember that not only did Tommy score a goal for City in the FA Cup final, but he also scored an own goal in the same game for Spurs. I was about to say something to him when all of a sudden Jonathan Davis appeared and also got in. It all got too much for me, so I went to the steam room, only for Mr. Davis to follow me in. I think he'd only just joined Widnes, as he wasn't very big at the time, and he found it really difficult to open the steam door. Embarrassingly, in the end, I had to help him. He smiled, and I think he said, thank you. But his voice just came out as a tiny squeak. I think the steamy air accentuated what he was trying to say. Either that, or just the fact he's a little Welsh twat. Cheers, Fred the Drug Pusher from Salford, a Red Devils fan. So thanks for that, Fred.
So he's pushing his business there, isn't he? Yeah.
Dear. Rebecca Lowe has written in. She says, I'm fed up with no rugby league, but thanks to you lot for keeping the podcast going. How much more do you think you can stretch this bollocks out for? And is there any chance in a future episode to have another sing-along, please? So we'll...
No more sing-alongs.
I thought you were going to say something about stretching my bollocks out then.
And finally, Neil Burning. I'm currently on furlough, and during my absence from work, I've discovered podcasts. I've been listening to an episode of What Would Brian Bevan Say every day in between going out for my bike ride and spending time with the family. My wife says I must be enjoying it, as my shoulders flared up again, which only happens when I laugh. It's an old injury I picked up whilst lying under a lathe in the late 80s as I rewired a 3-pin plug over the period of 8 weeks. Keep up the good work and I'll send you the bill from the chiropractor as I'm blaming the podcast. So,
very good. Yeah, you always have to blame somebody, don't you?
Yeah.
Where there's blame, there's a claim.
Yeah.
Okay, that's all, folks. Send your lockdown letters, as always, to whatbevan@gmail.com or tweet to whatbevan. Or if there are any chavs claiming benefits, you can always find us on Facebook. So it's a goodbye from a man who will meet again, but we don't know when, from Sam.
All the best.
And it's a long way to Tipperary, and it's a long way to go. To the sweetest podcaster I know, it's a My Heart's Right There from Dennis.
Thanks, Grandad.
I'm Rob London. There'll be primrose and blue clouds over the white stands of the Halliwell Jones some sunny day. Although we'll settle for a dark satanic grey skies if it meant rugby league would return. You've been listening to What Would Brian Bevan Say?
What shall I have in the background next week?
Picture of your granddad.
Oh yeah. In a boat. Hey, hey, hey. Don't know where, don't know when, but I know we'll meet again some sunny day.